Covering Michigan and the world from his bunker below the bridge. Here is Steve Huber.
All right, welcome back to it. Heading for the finish. It's going to be a lot of snow today for a vast majority of the Lower Peninsula, and intense snowfalls will occur throughout the day. So keep that in mind. Later in the afternoon, we go. The heart of the snow is going to fall, apparently. Until 7, 8, or 9 tonight, depending on where you are. But be careful out there. It's one of those days you just need to be careful on the roads because, well, there's a lot of idiots out there, frankly. All right, shifting gears now. We're going to go to our next guest, Gary Taubes here, author of The Case Against Sugar. It's all health right now for the last half hour of the program, trying to make you healthier. The Case Against Sugar, Why We Get Fat, Good Calories, Bad Calories, And well, it's just in time for Christmas. Gary, welcome to the conversation.
Well, thanks for having me.
Yeah, good to have you here. Americans consume more sugar today than at any time in human history, I believe, of any group of people. We consume vast quantities of sugar.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. I hate to play the Grinch role in this Christmas season, but we somewhere in the 1960s, 1970s, we kind of officially decided as a nation, our public health authority sort of gave us this notion that sugar was this benign substance that, as long as we didn't eat too much of it, however you define that, we would be fine. And as a result, virtually every meal in our day had been transformed into, some version of dessert. You can't even go into the supermarket without 60-70% of the processed foods containing sugar. And along with this, not just in the U.S., but everywhere in the world, we've seen these epidemics of obesity and diabetes.
No question. We've seen the government over the last, during most of my lifetime, in fact, until just recently, the bad guys were fat and cholesterol, right? Fat and cholesterol have both basically been removed by the U.S. government as nutrients of concern, as you put it. But the sugar, high fructose corn syrup being one of the biggest offenders, is out there everywhere. And what people don't realize is that when you consume fat, it does not spike your serum cholesterol. But consuming sugar spikes your serum cholesterol very quickly. And these are things that people need to know. Is that fair?
It's a little bit overly simple, but you're absolutely right that we focused on fat, and also we told everyone that they should avoid salt as well. So if you think about it, fat, salt, and sugar are kind of the three primary ways we can manipulate the taste of a product, or that we experience good taste. And you tell people, avoid fat, avoid salt, you end up with these insipid foods, and now what you do to make them tasty is you add sugar. And yeah, sugar has uniquely... It's the sugar molecules metabolize uniquely in the human body. Half of it's metabolized in our liver, and you get this whole slew of the very profound physiological phenomena. But the problem is that if you think about it, the ultimate nanny state is a government that tells you not to eat sweets.
There's, as your mother said, and your mother was right. Everything in moderation. You can have some cookies too. You can't eat the whole box.
That's the message, except you would never say, it's okay to smoke cigarettes in moderation. Only have half a pack a day, you'll be fine. There's a lot of people, most of the people in America are overweight or obese now, 30 million are diabetic. A lot of those people eat in moderation. They work harder to eat in moderation than the lean people do because they have to.
Right, so why do they remain obese then if they're eating in moderation?
Because they're getting the wrong message, and they've always gotten the wrong message. So we tell them, it's just eat less, portion control, basically all the things you do when you're trying to eat in moderation, and exercise, and you'll be fine.
And what's your answer?
Yeah.
What is your answer? Dump the sugar.
Yeah, and what you should be saying is get rid of the sugar, get rid of the sugary beverages. Don't try to consume it in moderation, because for many people that's impossible. It's like, I'm an ex-smoker, you guys. There's no smoking in moderation for me. And that's true of a lot of people with sugar as well. And then what you have to do is sort of remove the metabolic effects of consuming sugar, and you do that by not consuming it.
But you also argue that, you know, big sugar, the corporations, co-opted university studies and scientists, and therefore, by extension, the Food and Drug Administration were able to, quote-unquote, prove that sugar was harmless. So it's politics and money as well.
Oh, it's definitely politics and money. Well, they had this hugely popular product. And, again, and there's a small percentage of the community, the bulk of the research community in nutrition jumped on the idea that saturated fat was the problem. And that hypothesis never panned out, but you would never know it from what happened. There's a small percentage saying, look, it's not fat, it's sugar. So what the sugar industry did is it paid the winners, in effect, the saturated fat researchers, to write papers and publish articles saying fat is a problem, sugar is benign. And then it helped humiliate the researchers who thought it was sugar. Again, they were acting like the ultimate nannies.
Well, then I found one other thing that I want to get to before we run today, and I found that sugar is the ultimate inflammatory. If you're dealing with joint problems and other inflammatory issues, taking sugar from the diet can be very helpful. Sugar also fuels cancer. When cancer is trying to grow, if you take sugar out of the diet, you can bring that, you know, stifle the growth of cancer and so forth.
So the mechanism here is that, we half of a sugar molecule is this carbohydrate called fructose, which we metabolize in the liver. And basically, our livers weren't designed to do the job of metabolizing huge doses of fructose that are dumped on them all day long in our modern diet. So like any machine that's not designed to do the job it has to do, it does it poorly.
Yep.
As a result, you get fat accumulation in the liver, and then that leads to a condition called insulin resistance. And insulin resistance means you have elevated levels of this hormone insulin in your blood all day long.
Right.
Now you're becoming diabetic, and it turns out that insulin and a related hormone called insulin-like growth factor are tumor promoters.
There you go. And we got to leave it there, Gary. A great conversation. I'd love to have you back to explore this even further. The book is The Case Against Sugar, Why We Get Fat, Good Calories, Bad Calories. The author, Gary Taubes. Good conversation, Gary. And again, I'd like to extend the conversation sometime soon.
We will not be an easy target. We will never roll over and let pain plan our day, or let an ache tell us what we can and cannot do. We will not linger on the sofa, ask somebody else to bring us the mail, or take the parking space closest to the door. But what we will do is take action. We will plan ahead. We will protect our bodies and fight back by moving. Lace up our sneakers and grab our tennis rackets. We will bowl. We will do our morning laps and bike ride through Saturday afternoon. We will walk our dogs around the block. We will pass up the elevator and proudly take the stairs. Because arthritis can't beat us if we beat it first. In the fight against arthritis, you need a weapon. What's yours? To learn more, visit us at fightarthritispain.org. This message brought to you by the Arthritis Foundation and the Ad Council.